Cause I'm a white man. 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 Cause I'm a
hot drop, drop, top, top, drop. Drop it like it's hot, yeah.
Wipe it out.
You see this ice on my wrist, how it glitz soon as the light hit. You can't lie to ice sick.
Wipe it out.
Purple got me smelling funky, red monkey, $500 on them. You ain't seen these yet.
Wipe it out.
Beating, you can hit me way around the corner, paint wet with the 24s on it. That's a bitch.
Wipe it out.
Old ladies, baby mama, two fiancés. Wife, Santa's life, who I'm gonna next?
Wipe it out.
And I use a automatic, I go ahead and use a barrel of the.
Wipe it out.
Made the chain hit me for a couple grand. Oh no, I ain't complaining. Just watch how you wipe my chest.
Wipe it out.
A bad bitch wanted me to stay there longer. I put that dick up on her, but I had a flight of chest.
Wipe it shoulders, out. Chest, pants, shoes. Shoulders, 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 chest, pants, shoes.
Cause I'm a white man. 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 Good morning. It's Thursday, November 10th. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. You're here with 101.9 via Vancouver's community radio station. We're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory. I'm your host. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path, and I'm taking you down my path. Now, how can you wake up and listen to Lil Boosie and, you know, and not be in a good mood? Like, I know that America is feeling the next day of a hangover. You know, like the hangover of the hangover. And it's actually quite interesting because here in Canada, I've had a lot of people come up to me and, you know, give me hugs. You know, tell me that they apologize, you know, for everything that's going on. You know, it's almost like I had a family member pass away, like a grandparent, like America, like that they once knew, and they knew to be real nice and to give out candy, and the relationship might be a little different. However, we'll get into that in the second half of the show. I have a guest coming on, Madsen from iHeartMedia out of New York City, to talk a little bit about the media's role in just how we messed it up, you know. But let's get into the forecast. I like to look into the forecast so we can see a little bit of light coming into the weekend. You know, it's Vancouver in November, so it's perpetually partially cloudy with a high chance of rain. Today will actually probably be the best day, Thursday, with a high of 14 and a low of 11. It shouldn't rain today, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, all rain. Getting colder every day. You know, here on the show, I like to talk to you a little bit about some of the things I care about, some local news, some stuff that I just find funny, some pop culture, some sports. You know, I try to have some guests lined up, some comedians, some smart people, some industry leaders, some entrepreneurs, sometimes, excuse me, sometimes just my friends. It gets a little lonely in here. I try to keep the lights on because lights off. It puts me in a good mood in the morning. I try to play some music as well. You know, music that really makes you feel good as you might be brushing your teeth or heading to work or, you know, doing whatever you do in the morning. I know some of you people have some nasty habits. But you're listening with me on 101.9, and this is an uncensored show. So we don't like to swear as much. We like to keep it, the content available for everyone.
But occasionally you might hear somebody drop a swear word, or you might hear me miss something in the music. And you should be aware. Now, to get into some local Vancouver news, some stuff that I find interesting. Yale Town yuppies, as people might call them, probably highly upset today. Highly upset as their price of cocaine just went up because RCMP, along with the Canadian border officials, seized over 100 kilograms of cocaine. You know, I'm here in business school, and when I think about the government seizing cocaine, I think about, okay, well, the supply has just gone down, which means the price has gone sky high. I think 101 kilograms of cocaine is, each kilogram is about 40 grand. So I don't like to do algebra live. I don't care if it's just multiplication. I'll let you guys get into that, but I think it's about $4 million, maybe $400,000. I don't know. I don't know how much that is. Somebody smarter than me can do the math. And call in to 604-822-CITR and let me know exactly how much money that is. Also, interesting note. You know, I said I was going to wait until the second half to talk about the election, but really, it's really difficult because this week I was looking for content to program the show with, and it became very difficult to find any news that didn't have anything to do with the election, specifically either Hillary Clinton, first loser, or Donald Trump. Oh, man, it's crazy to think about Donald Trump as president. Like, not even any of the things that he said. Had Donald Trump ran it like a very squeaky clean campaign. Just thinking about that Donald Trump is now going to be the president, it's like watching Game of Thrones and saying Littlefinger's the president. I know a lot of people, they hate Game of Thrones references because not everybody watches Game of Thrones, but I do. And this is my show, so I talk about whatever the hell I want. But the Canadian immigration website crashed last night and has continued to crash throughout yesterday. When I say last night, I meant Tuesday night. And all the smart people have already gotten out of the United States and have already been in Canada for about a year. So I like to give myself a pat on the back on this one. I feel that I foresaw this coming, beat the rush, and now I'm here. Some Canadian dating websites have actually popped up to try to match Canadian bachelors, bachelorettes with American coinciding bachelors and bachelorettes. This is an idea that we had on our show on Crimes and Treasons, which is on Tuesday nights from 9 to 11. We decided that we would start a service where we could try to match listeners. It's really self-selecting demographic that listens to the show. Anybody who listens to hip-hop music in Vancouver, you better be listening to Crimes and Treasons. And if you like hip-hop music and you're Canadian or American and you want to be matched with another hip-hop lover, Canadian, then tune into our show. But a Tinder-like service called Maple Match can match an American with a Canadian. I am not really certain about the laws and how does the government prove whether you are, you know, actually in love or if you're just trying to get the hell out of the United States. Or maybe a Canadian sees this as a perfect opportunity to get into the United States, because as much as I love here in Vancouver, there's really only a few cities in Canada where you can actually go and say that this is a really good time. I know I was at a clean energy conference on Tuesday and talking to the Department of Revenue. I'm looking for a job, and I was asking them about some of the opportunities, and they said that there's plenty of opportunities if you wanted to move to Ottawa. Now, today is a very special day because I feel like there's a lot of my friends listening to the show, maybe a lot of people, probably the most people listening to community radio ever. I think I'm breaking records. But if you're American and you're listening to me thinking about moving to Canada and somebody gives you an offer to move to Ottawa, don't do it. Listen, I've been to Ottawa before. Ask any Canadian people who live in Ottawa. I mean, it's probably not that bad, but when you think about capital cities, it's not that enticing. And one thing I like to say about the Canadian immigration website crashing, this is not the first time. This crashed when Brexit happened as well. All great decisions caused the Canadian immigration website to crash. It's clear. In BC, we have sometimes, so I coach Little League football, and sometimes I think that there are coaches that just take it too far. No matter how much your experience level or how much you deal with stress in your day job, for some reason, Little League sports can bring out the worst in people. Like in Vancouver, on Vancouver Island, BC Transit CEO Manuel Achadina, I think that's how you say it, Manuel Achadina, I don't know. Well, he was banned a year from coaching little girls soccer by U14 soccer after he assaulted a 16-year-old referee. Now, he wrote a really good apology. However, come on, man. You just can't be yoking up 16-year-old referees. That ain't right. The kid's getting paid $10 an hour to ref your daughter's soccer game. He's going to miss a call every now and then. Like I coach Little League football, it's the same thing. The refs are doing the best they can. They might not be very good. But, I mean, that's what happens when you have 14, 15-year-olds reffing highly, highly competitive 10 and 11-year-old football games. They're going to miss some calls. They're going to miss all of the calls, and you have to be okay with that. You can't be yoking up 16-year-old referees. It's not okay, Manuel. And now you're banned from the league for one whole year. Was it worth it? Probably not. It might have been, though, because, listen, sometimes those referees really, really piss you off. But you got to keep your composure. And as the CEO of, like, BC Transit, it's a pretty large company, I'm pretty sure he's probably fired somebody for not keeping their composure. So maybe this guy should have a little bit more compassion about when people are doing their day jobs, whether it's volunteer or you're getting paid. Some people are just, I guess maybe some people are just having a rough day. Canada is winning after Tuesday, the election. Because here in BC, you can actually bet on the outcome of the election. Trump had 7-2 odds. I should have took those. Could have made a fortune betting on the demise of my own country. Probably not that great. However, it happened. And Hillary Clinton, what do her odds matter? She lost. Well, not only did she lose. We all did. Should have had Bernie in there. However, we didn't. And BC residents are getting paid about $1 million from their betting on the election. The second half of the show, we're going to be talking to my friend Justin Madsen about the media and their influence. And just like any other day in Vancouver, there's empty homes proposed tax, and I'll tell you why I don't think it's going to work when we get back. What the heck?
out of my mind. See, this cat got your throat. And look at how I come out tired, just to find my way home. And look at how I run my mouth. See, this cat got your throat. And look at how I come out tired, just to find my way home. There's money to take, there's money to pay. The water is strange, the water is strange. I drink anyways. And look it out, I run my mind. See, this cat got your throat. Look it out, I come out time, just to find my way home.
Trying to boss, yeah. Copenhagen, bitch, bad. And she 21, yeah. She just want the lightsaber, Obi-Wan, yeah. I just piped her so damn much and watched her fall in love, yeah. Yeah, that's my little shorty. Yeah, Nina, 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 Nina. I said, that's my little shorty. Yeah, Nina, 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 Nina. Yeah, that's my little shorty. She likes the way I flex, she likes the way I sing, she likes the way I talk, she dripping on my ring. Gas up backwards, yeah, we up in space, big back green, like she made me fuck the face. That's my little short area. Come and see me up in London, then go to LA, ay. She freaky and she boy, shorty love my vibe, feeling my feng shui. That's my little shorty. Yeah, Nina, 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 Nina. I said that's my little shorty. Yeah, Nina, 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 Nina.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path on here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian, Vancouver's only community radio station. We're here talking a little bit about the election that happened in the United States on Tuesday. A little bit about some Vancouver news, some stuff that I particularly care about. We'll have a guest on at the half of the hour talking a little bit about how the media is influenced and just about how people are feeling. I tried to compile a I guess a audio clip of how just how my friends were feeling, and not just my friends, but not just my friends who think like me, who are a little surprised or maybe saddened, shocked, you know, by Donald Trump becoming the president, but also some president-elect Donald Trump supporters. I fear that they are no longer my Facebook friends from either my, like, from either me deleting them or them deleting me. So I couldn't find that many. If you'd like to call in and voice your opinion, it's 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. So Vancouver has proposed a empty homes tax on about 11,000 homes. What the tax is, it's a 1% basically penalty that you'll have to pay for having a house in Vancouver, I think just the city of Vancouver. And so on about $1 million house, that's about a $10,000 penalty. It's going to cost the city around $4.7 million in the first year to set up the program, and $1.5 million every year after that to continue the administrative costs of the program. I guess the monitoring, making sure that people are being penalized, and that, and what it takes to basically track the amount of homes that are not lived in, empty homes. In the first year, that's about 470 houses to cover the expenses, and then about 150 houses every year after that to cover the administrative costs. Now, while I just think that the city sees an issue as having empty homes and people who need houses to live in. We know that in Vancouver, comparatively to all of Canada and pretty much North America, that the rent is exorbitantly high while vacancy rates are exorbitantly low. So I think there's a 99.7 occupancy rate, and anybody who lives here knows that it's really difficult to stay in the same place, and it's really difficult to find a place when you get someplace, even if you have multiple roommates, like more than two, more than three roommates. You get there and you're the 10th, 11th person on the list, not knowing if you're going to be able to secure housing really just causes instability and an overall insecurity for yourself. Just knowing that you have to move every year, or that every year you might be looking for a new roommate, or you might be the new roommate, and it just causes a lot of stress. So the city is really trying to propose things that will help the regular citizen be better off. However, I'm not really sure if a 1% tax would work. I will have to speak to someone a little more expert, but it just seems that if you have money to buy a $1 million house, what is a 1% penalty? Is this just a tool for the city to grab a little bit of money? And while it seems that they're trying to continually find different tactics that will help the young renter, or maybe older renter, or just anyone looking for housing, it just seems that this cost is a little bit high, and it might not even have the same effect. It might not have the effect that you believe it will. So good luck with that. When thinking about Vancouver real estate, we also know that the Trump Tower is scheduled to be open soon. And according to the Vancouver Sun, the branding of the Trump Tower has taken a little bit of a hit, causing some stress and trouble for the CEO of the Holborn Group that actually owns the tower and is licensing the name from Donald Trump. Ju Kim Tia says that really it's the the remarks that President-elect, it's like almost like Jabba the Hutt became president, you know? Doesn't seem real. It's almost as if Magneto or Lex Luthor was president and there was no Batman or no Superman or no superhero to save the world. Like, we need somebody in an underwear and cape to come out and save us. But the CEO, he says that the Trump name is strong. However, he doesn't really like to get into politics. He doesn't agree with everything that Donald Trump says, like everybody, but he still wants to make money with him, which seems to be the theme from a lot of people. Is I don't agree with everything that he says, but, you know, he does so-and-so that I believe in. When are we going to get a leader who speaks really well? He doesn't disrespect anybody. He's got great Christian family values. Gosh, man, America really needed a leader like that. Absolutely, absolutely terrible. But the tower is scheduled to open. There's actually people moving in now into one of the 214 condos. And the hotel, which has 140 available suites, is set to open in January. Mayor Gregor that's Vancouver's mayor for anyone not listening. Gregor, I like his name. He says that the Trump's name and brand have no more place in Vancouver skyline than its ignorant ideas have in the modern world. He wrote that in a letter to the CEO. And while I agree, if you want to actually do something about Donald Trump's here in Vancouver and about his branding on the building, just encourage people not to stay at the hotel, because you can't encourage people not to buy the condos because they're sold out, because people actually don't care. It's kind of sad. I mean, 214 people decided that, oh, this is for the best. This is a decision for the best of me. I'm going to invest in the Trump Tower. All the hate and ignorance he spews, the people who like him, you know, this is who I'm trying to support. But in better news, in more exciting news, something that might help ease the pain and ease the suffering of Americans, is that legalized recreational marijuana was passed in 9 states, actually making British Columbia the only Western state or province from America into Canada that has not legalized recreational marijuana and has only marijuana for medicinal purposes. So California, Nevada, Arizona. I didn't read the whole list, because California is really the only state that matters. All those other states I don't want to go to. And Tilray, which is a Vancouver Island-based medicinal marijuana manufacturer, actually has the largest manufacturing facility in the entire world. While it's American-owned, it's still a BC-based company, and they believe that the opportunity in America is crazy good for them. Particularly, they have built in the fundamentals and in the structure to build this huge, huge facility, and they plan on taking their talents down south. We like to play some PSAs and some ads. However, the computer, I cannot get in. So I'm just going to talk to you about them, because I was going to play a UBC Improv ad. They have a show next Friday. Their shows are hilarious. From 7 o'clock on Friday, you have to get there before 6 o'clock, because if you do not, you will not get in the building. It's first come, first serve, and they sell out every week. That's the only ad that I remember by heart. I apologize. When we get back into it, we'll be speaking with Mattson about a little bit about the media and the influence, and go a little deeper into the election and how that affects me, my friends, my Canadian counterparts. Keep the hugs coming. They're much appreciated. You're back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. You're here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. If you'd like to be heard, listening, tell us a little about how you feel about Donald Trump. The number you can call is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. I'm here with my friend and Justin Masson from iHeart Media. How are you doing today? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got you. Can hear you. Yeah. So how did the polls get it all wrong? Because every single poll I saw, we talked about this amongst our friends about how 538 had Hillary Clinton projected at 70% victor.
Yeah, how did that happen, man? I don't know. It's a little frustrating. I know Nate Silver's probably kicking himself in the shin right now. I just think there's a lot of uneducated, angry white people out there that no one accounted for, that never came out to vote in the past, and they just did not see that shit coming at all.
I mean, but how do you miss just such a sizable shift? I've never seen that before.
No, it's literally like one of the most like it's like it's mind-boggling, you know. I mean, like I feel like it's like how do you even like and like I think we were kind of talking about like you know when you asked me to like come on the show, we were talking about this a little bit, and it's like somebody needs to get fired, man. Like,
oh yeah.
Like who in the media is losing their job? Like where is Nate Silver, fucking, you know, Anderson Cooper, all these people, you know what I mean? Like, just stringing along this narrative for the last year and a half, however long this election's been going on. And then you get up to the final, everybody's feeling confident, everybody's feeling good. And then they cut to, like, James Carville on, like, MSNBC. And he's like, yo, like, we barely just won Virginia. Like, Tim Kaine was, like, you know, that's his state. Like, if we can't barely win Virginia, like, we're not taking North Carolina. They were already expecting to lose Ohio. So, like, it was a wrap right there. And it's kind of overwhelming.
So you're located in Brooklyn, New York, pretty much the hipster capital of the world, right?
Yeah, it's like the hipster Mecca, yeah.
And but you're from Cleveland.
From Cleveland originally,
from
yes,
Cleveland, Ohio. So, you know, I spent some formative years in Cleveland. I felt like, you know, that was my LeBron when I grew up. So I kind of feel like I grew up there, and I have an understanding of the people and just how different the people are as you go from the city center to 30 minutes outside of the city. So can you speak to how people feel in New York City versus how you know, like your maybe some of your family members, that voted for Trump? How do they feel?
Well, I mean, I think, well, first off, I mean, you got to understand, like, you know, Brooklyn, New York, work in Manhattan, it's a liberal bubble. You know what I mean? It's like a liberal echo chamber. And like, but like also, you know, you have people here who are growing up around like literally every kind of culture you could ever come across. You know what I mean? So it's like, we're all just here together in this thing, you know, like that's not, this is always going to be blue, you know? And you go back to Cleveland, it's a little bit of a different story. You know, I mean, it's like, it's still, you know, it still goes blue, but like you go out to the rest of the state, like you're talking about the Rust Belt, you're talking about a lot of people who are angry, a lot of people who are like kind of clinging to the past, this idea that like, you know, Trump's going to bring back manufacturing jobs and this and that, you know what I mean? I'm sure that appeals to them. Plus, you know, you have a lot of people who aren't exposed to a lot of different cultures, a lot of different ethnicities. It just doesn't happen as much there. I mean, like I'm trying to thinking like growing up, like maybe I knew like maybe three, maybe five like black kids growing up, you know what I mean? Like from like my neighborhood where I was at. So it kind of just give you an idea of like the bubble that they're living in, you know? I mean, these aren't people that, I don't necessarily think these are like angry people or like mean people or evil people, at least, you know, they're not trying to be, you know what I mean? But they're conditioned a certain way. And I think, you know, there was a lot of people who had never voted before. And there's a lot of different factors culminating in them just being like, we're making a stand and, you know, we're kind of fed up with the establishment. But also this guy's kind of appealing to some of our darker, inner, you know, racist, xenophobic, whatever, misogynistic voices. And yeah, and they all fell for it. They all got fucking fleeced.
Yeah, I have this this theory. I said I don't really understand why there's so many shocked liberals, because you know there's this frustration that happens when people try to discuss political discourse amongst their family. Like me, my family, surprise surprise, we don't have any type of political, we're pretty much all on the same page as when it comes to particular issues. There might be a little bit difference. However, when it comes to the candidates, we all align, you know, and, mm-hmm. and during Thanksgiving, we don't have any, there's really nobody's getting angry. But I can imagine how it is being from Ohio, you know, at Thanksgiving.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And talking
we're gonna
to
be going home, and we're going to be going home, and there's going to be some interesting conversations that occur at the dinner table. I mean, like, my mother, my father, my sister, like, all my immediate family, like, definitely all voted Democrat. Or maybe my father sometimes votes third party just because he likes to be a shithead. But, like, that's his M.O.
Yeah,
but
he's definitely
he's not a conservative by any means. However, I mean, like, I mean, one person in particular that I know I'm going to get in an argument with is my Aunt Ann, who, like, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know, the guy she's dating is a big Trump supporter. I've never known her to be a Trump, like, or like a Republican in my entire life. I'm talking about, like, the woman who, like, she, like, taught me the alphabet, like made me, like, she, like, took care of me while my mom was working.
Yeah.
So, like made me breakfast every morning. Like, this is, like, my second mother. And I'm just going to have to just, like, I don't even know how I'm going to deal with it. Like, I've already gotten in multiple, like, screaming matches, like, arguments with her about this kind of stuff. And I remember the night before the election just being, like, Ann, like, don't you want, like, my little sister, don't you want Chelsea to, like, live in a country where she knows she can be president? Like, she has that affirmation. Like, if all else, you know what I mean? All issues aside, like, just do it for her.
Yeah.
Just try to appeal. Didn't work.
Yeah.
And, didn't work.
And I know we talked about this yesterday, but I, like, me personally, I think that if Hillary Clinton was a man, a lot of this would be non-issue. Like, people would be just talking about how badass she was, how many kills she's got, you know, how she was in the room when Osama bin Laden and didn't flinch, you know, in the room with Osama bin Laden when he, you know, when he was caught on camera and didn't flinch, you know, just how experienced she was. What do you think about that?
I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, I think it's like, I've been kind of struggling with this to a certain extent because, like, other viewpoints I'm hearing in terms of, you know, she was this and she was that, like, in terms of, like, a crook or, like, you know, the emails and, like, you know, Benghazi and, like, all this shit. And it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, like, at the end of the day, I can understand if you're against, like, establishment politics, but, like, all she was doing was being a politician. Like, it's not like she was doing anything necessarily bad or like, worse, you know what I mean, than anybody else. In fact, she was probably better than some of these politicians. And, like, you know, it really was kind of this, like, strange witch hunt, like, fueled, in my opinion, by, like, it's just the white patriarchy just not wanting to give up a seat at the table. But, like, really, at the end of the day, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to cut it any differently.
Yeah, it's just weird just thinking about how I know people who voted for Trump specifically because they believe he's pro-life. But we're still debating on whether the death penalty is a good idea or not. I mean, 31 states still have the death penalty. And
Didn't California just reform it?
Yeah, California, Nebraska, and Oklahoma just brought it back. So, you know, we talk about
they brought it back. Oh, I thought they reformed it so that – I thought that California did away with it.
No. The opposite? No, they banned the ban.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they banned the ban. And even in a state like Oklahoma where they have routinely learned to fumble on the lethal injection, there was like a seven-hour lethal injection where a man was just dying for 7 hours. It was terrible. But they brought it back. Complex Magazine was talking about how Al-Qaeda members and jihadists are celebrating the Trump win. So that's good.
Of course they are. That's so everything they want. You know what I mean? Like, a guy like that, like, and his rhetoric and, like, what he's about, like, that just fuels their cause.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that jihadists are just happy. Like, yeah, we know that he's going to say something crazy, and he's going to solidify and, you know, help us recruit. It's going to be easy. It's easy with Donald Trump. Oh man, it's pretty somber, but
it's real somber, man. I mean, it's like, as you want to be positive and you want to walk away from, like, Hillary's concession speech and the things that, like, you know, I think a lot of people should rally around, like, Bernie and his rhetoric and what he's about right now. You know, a lot of people talk about, like, bridging the gap and, like, trying to make this thing work and stuff like that, like Obama, like, speech yesterday, but, like, I don't know. It's like, okay, like, yes, to a certain extent, but like, I have the privilege of being a white male in America. You know what I mean? So it's easy for me to say that, you know. I look around and like, you know, you've got a lot of like LGBTQ like members and like, you know, Muslim brothers and sisters, like black people, like, you know what I mean? Like Latinos, Hispanics, like what the fuck are they supposed to do when all of a sudden like things start coming to a head and this motherfucker is like actively pushing for some of the things that he's been talking about his entire campaign. Like, I mean, it's scary, man.
I just think that, so yeah, like when he starts pushing about you know, immigration reform and you know, kicking illegals, it's so such a crazy word. How can you be an illegal person, you know? You know, kicking people out of the country and like where do those people go for refuge, or where do those people go for, you know, for assistance? I you know, as a white person who didn't vote for Trump, what do you tell people who see that David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan and those people are excited about Donald Trump? Like, isn't it just enough that, like, should we even have a political party that appeals to those people?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's our choice. I mean, like, if you were to ask me, I'd be like, absolutely not. But like, obviously, there's a voice to be heard there. I mean, I don't know what to make of it, man. Because I mean, I feel like whenever you get into this conversation with an actual Trump supporter and you start pressing them on the social, because I mean, like, let's be honest, like, there's some things that Trump's saying that are like, all right, I could dig that. You know what I mean? Like term limits. Like, you know, there's some like there's a couple of things in there that you're like, that's good, I guess. But like, when you start pushing on like social issues and like, you know, Obamacare and the environment and, you know, and obviously just anything like anything race related, anything socially related, you know, it's really, really fucking scary. But like, you start pushing, you know, Republican supporters and that stuff, and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's like he still has to get that through Congress, and you know, he doesn't have a lot of the you know, the traditional establishment Republican support. You know, they voted for him to get like their Supreme Court in there. You know, it's like hold your nose and vote, you know, whatever. And it's like, yeah, but like, what makes you think that he can't get these people on board with that stuff? Like, you're talking about like a party that is just like, I don't know, it's toxic, man. Yeah. You know, like it's not healthy.
So my last question is, so we thought that this was going to be the end of the Republican Party as we knew it, and lo and behold, it looks like it's the actual Democratic Party that is in shambles. So as someone who believes in a lot of the policies that Bernie Sanders and the Democratic Party we push, like, where do you think that we should go from here? And personally, how are you going to make sure this doesn't happen in 4 years?
I mean, it's like you gotta mobilize. I don't know. That was my big thing with Bernie. I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, I voted for Hillary, and like, I really did support her. And I mean, I don't think that the criticism that she faced were valid. And I think a lot of that was rooted just in the fact that she was a woman and no one was ready for the type of woman that she was. I don't want it to be like, you know, I don't think it's like we need to move away from anything Hillary was doing. But I mean, like, in terms of like the DNCE and the way that they were approaching stuff, it's like, I mean, that was not the way to do it. But you have a guy like Bernie where it's like, you know, that dude could be like the focal point for like the way you operate the Democratic Party moving forward. You know what I mean? You got to start locally. You got to start looking around just to like what organizations need help, whether it's volunteering or just donations or like, I don't know. You got to, and also I think the other part of it, I mean, outside of just like truly getting involved, if you don't have the time for that, you don't have the commitment for that, you start hearing somebody like spouting off like racist rhetoric or like some like whatever, you know, just like civilly step up to that. You know what I mean? Don't let that shit fly. Like, you know what I mean? You start hearing something in the workplace against women, like, just, you know, just be try to be a better fucking human being, okay? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that that is contagious, and I think that can help, and that, that might be some wishful thinking, but, I mean, what else do we have right now?
All right. Hey, Justin, thank you for coming on to coming on to the show and Off the Beaten Path. Is there anything that you would like to say to sign off?
Hey, man, just thank you for having me on, and let me know when you want to have me back, because this is a lot of fun.
Oh, no, thank you very much. Hey, I'll probably see you tomorrow, man.
All right,
I'll be in New York
buddy.
City, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, dude, let's get up.
All right, definitely.
Peace.
I knew I had a problem.
I tried counting calories,
eating and eating.
Nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at OA.org.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
So you're back here with Off the Beaten Path. Here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. Thank you, Justin, for coming in and just giving us a little thoughts about how people are feeling about the election. And now we're going into sports. Wow, to my surprise, I was not expecting this. UBC football team won their first playoff game versus Regina, 40-34. Maybe UBC can make a run at this. You know, all I do is talk about how UBC was coming off the national championship season, and I thought it was mad disappointing. They play Calgary next. Calgary's pretty strong. Their record, they had a bye, and their record is, I think it's like 8-2. The Dinos, they're playing in Calgary. So good luck to them. One weird thing I thought before I sign off was people need to stop referring to other people as animals. I saw the Dan Carpenter, the wife of a Buffalo Bill, the kicker, referred to Richard Sherman as an animal and said that he needed to be castrated. Come on now. It's 2016, and people need to understand that their insults or whatever, you know, have ramifications. And if you listen, you can't, as a person in 2016, you can't tell me that you don't think that referring to a black person, particularly Richard Sherman, who's been referred to as a beast and animal lots of times, you know, as that doesn't have anything to do with racism even a little bit. You're talking about how you wanted to castrate him, and then you put a picture of one of those machines. That's just poor taste, and the apology was pathetic. But that's your time. Thank you for tuning in to Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We do this every Thursday from 7 to 8. If you'd like to call in, at 604-822-2487, 604-822-CITR to find your Canadian bachelor or bachelorette. Or if you're Canadian and you want me to hook you up with an American, I can do that too. I know this is a point of reference. However, I know that in Cleveland, where I lived at, I have a lot of friends. And those friends are often looking to get married very quickly. So if you want to get married, if you're looking to get married, you know someone who's fiending to get married, you let them know, I'll put you on. You guys have a nice week and have a nice weekend. Thanks.